In Prevent, basically, the main aim of Sports Force is to try and prevent people from being drawn into terrorism. So we try and work in three different areas, really, which is the individuals themselves, trying to safeguard individuals, build resilience in their life and offer support to them.
So with that in mind, would you go to do that? And obviously we're in Piccadilly Gardens now. Tell me what you're doing here today.
Well, we're here today, I suppose, to raise awareness of Prevent, to give them information about who we are and what we do. And the best way to do that is to come to the public. A lot of people assume the public know what we do, but we've decided to come and actually be here, approachable to the public, and let them answer questions, or ask questions to us even, and we can answer them. And all the answers will be posted online on our website.
So when you sort of go up to a member of the public, what's your approach? What do you say to them?
On most occasions, public actually approach us and ask what we're here to, you know, talk about, and we explain that we're here from the Prevent Department within the Counter-Terrorism Branch, and we're actually there as the safeguarding unit to safeguard individuals from being drawn into violent extremism.
Hello there. Just give you this. The reason we're here today is because it's National Prevent Week, so we're just handing out some information about terrorism, about what it is, and about some of the things we're doing to try and tackle it.
Can I just ask you, obviously you've been given that leaflet, is this the first you've heard of the Prevent team, or...?
It's not the first, no. It's good. They're actually giving people information, so people aren't just running around not knowing what to do.
It's not just about engaging with the public, it's about building up trust with the public and with communities, because most of the time it's community members who pick up on the signs that individuals are being radicalised, and not police officers or other frontline service personnel. So there needs to be that dialogue and trust, so that, you know, members of the public do raise the concerns to the police or with the local authorities who also work with us.
I guess when you look at it, one of the main defences to build on is getting people talking, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone sees CT or counter-terrorism topics as a taboo subject, the elephant in the room, and what we're trying to do, we're trying to normalise it. First of all, let's look at this as a safeguarding issue, because that's what it is. It's the same as child sexual exploitation, it's the same as drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, any sort of vulnerability, and this is just another strand of it. The way we see it, it's vulnerable, regardless of what the vulnerability is, whether you're going down the lines of terrorism or any other sort. So we're trying to build resilience and show people that actually it's part of the same package. So if somebody's vulnerable and showing signs of vulnerability, let's build resilience in their life and try and support them, regardless of what that is.
I know you touched upon it before about how the signs are there within the community. People can spot those signs. What should people really be looking out for?
There's a mixture of signs you can pick up on. What we say about vulnerability to extremism, it would be no different to vulnerability to any other sort of safeguarding issue. So an individual who might be vulnerable to being sexually exploited could be easily vulnerable to being radicalised as well. Generally, the differences we come across is that individuals will get a sign where they will display extremist beliefs, or they might come across what they're looking at online, or they might become very fixated on a subject, or talk about a subject in a scripted speech when it's quite obvious that that person doesn't have the knowledge to talk about that topic in those terms themselves. And it's following them. If a person still has concerns, the person might actually address those concerns with the individual themselves and actually be appeased that there's nothing wrong. But if they aren't appeased, it's at that point we'd say you can contact your safeguarding leads within the local authority or police for further advice.
It's like we were saying before about terrorism being that taboo subject, but I guess, you know, if people do have concerns, it's letting them know what they can do with that, and that's, I guess, why you guys are here today.
Yeah, but, you know, what we would always say, you know, if somebody is at a very early stage of perhaps becoming sympathetic to an extremist belief or ideology, if the best method to solve it is actually to sit down with that person, speak to them about it and give them an alternate dialogue, as opposed to sticking your head in the sand and leaving it till too late, in which case we have to prosecute them.
Why Piccadilly Gardens today? Why is it important to sort of be seen doing this sort of work?
Well, Piccadilly Gardens is the epicentre of Manchester. There's a diverse range of communities who come through here.
Are you from Manchester? Or?
I am, yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Italy.
My name is Burak.
And you're from Turkey?
Yes.
It's where people, if they are going to work or, you know, just enjoying leisure time in Manchester, they can approach us in their own time and discuss it at the free will.
I guess it's that bringing people into the thought that they need to be the eyes and ears as well and spot any suspicious activity, not just radicalisation, but packages and things that don't look right.
Yeah, like what we'd always say is the likelihood of an individual coming across a terrorist or someone vulnerable to being radicalised is actually very small, and we do live in a very safe society. It's just making people aware that if you do come across something, the police are there and other frontline services such as the local authority for them to raise the concerns with, and something will be done about it.